So take your Bibles, if you wouldn't, go to Hebrews chapter 11. And I know the second that I say that, in a church like this, no doubt you have heard countless messages from here, so immediately you're going to go into coast mode. I don't want you to do that. It's sort of like at Christmas. You know, when you've been a place for 10 years and you've done Christmas for 10 years in a row, as soon as you go to Luke chapter 2 and shepherds abiding in the field, man, people are out, they're fishing, shopping, whatever, you know. I mean, there's only so many ways you can spend that, right? Same way with when I had a missionary come in, we sometimes would have 20 missionaries a year at Slippery Rock, and I said, please do not go ye into all the world, you know, because if I get you get that 20 and 30 times in a row, it makes for a long year, you know. And it's sort of like when you get here, your mind says, well, I've heard this before, but what I want you to do, I want you to take what you know about faith, and I want you to stick it over here, okay? And then I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to revisit your faith when we get done. Take where you think it is now, and then when we get through this message, I want you to look at it again and reevaluate where you're at. And we're going to use the same process that we used in Sunday school, that we used in the church today. When we go through this, I don't want you to just read it. Because you can pass over it too fast to grasp what it is. We got to take a little bit to look at it and to ask those questions. Let that sink in a little bit. Because faith is the epic center of everything we are as believers. It is an extremely powerful thing. And just to think if we could actually unlock that a little bit. So let's pray, and we'll look at this evening. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the heart of this pastor. Lord, thank you. Lord, I just love to see just people craving to just be like you. Thank you for the people that got saved recently. Thank you for what you did on the first service in January, you know, where people were challenged to take a look at their salvation. And thank you for the people that were baptized today. Lord, sometimes that's hard to do when you go to church and everybody thinks that you're okay and inside you know you're not. Lord, thank you that this place is a place where somebody can just say, you know what, it doesn't matter, I need help. This is where I'm at, and being able to come out and share that, and it's exciting to see you do that. I pray you continue that work, that you'd help us tonight as we look at faith, that you would help it to be real. Lord, I can't do this, but you can. Jesus, thank you for being so kind, loving, and forgiving in our lives. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. So if you go with me to chapter 11, and we look here at verse 1, it says this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So when you look at that word, faith is an abstract thing. If I told you to grab a hold of faith, you're just going to be grabbing air. And it's funny that something that's normally abstract to us, it says this: now faith is the substance. So immediately God's challenge is, David, I want you to get out of your mind of thinking that it's abstract, that it's more than that. There's substance to faith. So like nowadays, you have these 3D printers and 4D printers, and you can take something that's on a screen, and then you can take that, and that 3D printer will actually make a physical object out of what's on the screen right in front of you. And that's kind of what faith is. It takes something that's here, that's abstract, and builds an object that you can now hold in your hands. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That hope for isn't this idea, well, you know, I hope I'm going to feel good, or, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. It's not based on something that may not happen. It's based on something that is going to happen, and that's why it's hope. All right? It's not hope I'm going to win the lottery. That may or may not. It's hope that's actually real, that's going to happen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What's hoped for? Man, I'm glad that I know I'm going to heaven. That's a reality. It's a place that exists. Okay, but what makes it real? God said it, but for you personally, it's not real unless you believe it. And your faith, when you read the Bible, it says that there's those beasts that fly around the throne. And, you know, they've got these wings. One of them's got eyes all over the wings. One of them's got a face of a man, face of an eagle. What makes those real is faith. Flying around that throne today, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." Can you see him? God sitting on his throne. That's not a fairy tale. That's reality. And faith makes that into something that's has substance to it of things hoped for. It's the evidence. I like this. It's the evidence. How do you know heaven's real? Point to your faith. All right. How do you know God's real? Point to your faith. Because it says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You want to go tell that world out there that there's a God in heaven that loves them. Give them the evidence of that. Okay? That evidence is going to be rooted in your faith. Once you begin to plug this in, it is a game changer because it totally changes the way we think about it. Our faith is the evidence of things not seen. So then you got a question, well, where is my faith? If that's the case, if it's the living evidence that I believe in God and I believe in that Bible and the promises that are in that Bible, well, then if I believe it, it's got to equal a difference in my life. Do you understand? You cannot believe that Bible and have faith in what God says in that Bible and then stay the same. You can't do that because then you're denying the very existence of faith. Because if you believe it, then you are going to by nature do it. Or else why in the world would you believe it? You know, that's going backwards. All right? I mean, if you actually believe these things in this Bible, well, then you're going to do them. So I'm going to stop along the way and kick my ADD in a little bit. I look at them and they just remind me of my home. they've been in the bush out where I live. When you go out in the bush, the people there can be extremely superstitious. We had a lady from the States, a missionary. She died at our place. She's on a 6-month mission trip. She got typhoid, and she died. And right where Fraser's Church is, just down the road, she told me when she took this trip, I was in the States when it happened, she said, "If anything happens to me, bury me in Zambia." So she's buried in Zambia. And I was driving out there in our little Jeep one day, and I had a guy with me, and I know he's not a believer, and he's probably 30 years old, and we're driving along in a car, and I stopped at that graveyard, and I said, "Did you see her?" He's like, "No." "See who?" I said, "The missionary, the one who died. I just saw her." He started shaking in my van. I mean, in the Jeep. I mean, shaking bad. And I said, "She's crying for help." And he's trying to get out of my car to run. And he said, "Really?" I said, "No, she's not." And I said, "Patrick, that's the problem." Because I know that he's very superstitious. I scared the daylights out of him. Do you know why I could do that? He believed me. And as I said that there's that missionary, he could see her in his mind. And it became very real to him, and he acted on his faith and tried to get out of my car because he believed what I just told him. How do you get somebody to take a bomb, strap it to your body, go to a populated area, detonate it? Can you imagine being a man? I tell you what, if it wasn't for the fact that they got the wrong, I'd love to have some of them come in and preach. Could you imagine the invitation during one of those things where they recruit people to blow themselves up? He's just trying to get you to come to visitation, you know? I mean, can you imagine if, all right, invitation time, who here, you know, feels God letting them, wants to blow themselves up for Jesus, you know? Why would somebody strap a bomb to themselves, go into a packed area and detonate it if you honestly did not believe what they're telling you? See, they're telling you, if you do this, you're going to be a martyr. If you do this, you're going to get 70 virgins. If you do this, you're going to be a hero. And the person on the other end begins to believe it. So much so that they willingly step forward and say, I want to do that. Do you see the power of faith? And that's faith in the wrong thing. Could you imagine once you tap that for the real deal? That's a game changer. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You want to let somebody know about Jesus tomorrow? You'll have to see it through your faith. Your faith is exercised by practicing what's in that book because you believe it's from God. Do you believe that Bible was written by God? Do you believe that? Give me an amen. Okay, now look, if you actually believe that, that just became a game changer because you're not just taking home any ordinary book. You're going to take home a book from God written to you. And you're saying that you believe what's in it. That right there now forces you to, by your faith, practice what's in that book. You practice what's in that book, that's a game changer. Okay, so let's go on with this a little bit more. Okay, it says here, through faith we understand, okay? So trying to figure out where God came from, how the world got here, is something that burns brain cells late at night. Where did God come from? Listen to this. Through faith, we understand these questions that are hard to understand. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Okay, let there be light. Can you see it as the universe just explodes and the sun finds its place? And the stars find their place. And the earth finds its place. And then God begins to speak everything else into existence. We understand those hearts. We understand through faith. We understand that that's how the world was made. Because we're believing God when he said, this is what I did. So much so that I'd argue that with anybody that would say anything about evolution. You're not budging me on that. For a million years, you're not going to do that. No pun intended with the evolution thing. Because why? I believe that God said that's what he did. When I look out at the mountains, I don't think about some random act. I think about a God that created it because I believe what he said, he did that. All right? It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now look at this. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That I'm not trying to figure out evidence on this earth of where it all came from. Because I understand it came from somebody I can't see. And I believe that with all my heart. See, faith is more just, I believe God can take care of me. Much more than that. Outside of your salvation, by the way, of which you don't get without faith, it is no doubt the most important thing you possess. And the most powerful is your faith. So let's just go on and read just a little bit more. Drop down from there. Let's look at, it says this in verse 6. Let's go to verse 4 first. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it being dead yet speaketh. So it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So somewhere along the line, God, through his their parents, let them know what they needed to do to bring this sacrifice to God. When they were told what to do, Abel treated it as though it came from God, and if it comes from God, you don't question it. You, by obedience, just follow it. So he believed God when God said, this is the sacrifice you need to bring. And by faith, he brought the right one. Because he simply just believed God. This is what God said to do. And he, by faith, went and brought the one. Do you know why I'm going to heaven? Because I just believed that book when he said, Dave, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And brother, if I go to hell, I'm going to hell believing that, because that's all I got, because that's what he said. You know, and I believe it. And that's all I have, brother. That's all you have is what's in that book. And everything I base my whole life on is the fact that I believe that's true. See, Cain questioned it. And instead of by faith, he went on his own faith of what he thought God wanted. And he brought to God what he thought God would like, instead of bringing to God what he asked. You know, religion today does that all there's, you know what, guys? They're not our enemy. They do believe in God, but they're missing the faith part. They can't get over Jesus being born in a manger. They can't get over God saving the world through a bloody cross. They want to add to it what they think God wants. And that's not what he said. So, let's drop down just a little bit more. Go to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You cannot please God in your family. You cannot please God in the church. You cannot please God in your life without faith. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. It's impossible to do that. You know, when I was pastoring, young people would come and they say, you know, I have a girlfriend, pastor. I have a boyfriend. And all first time thing always says, hey, are they a believer? Every once in a while, they'll say, well, I'm dating this guy or I'm dating this girl, but they're not saved. And I always look at them and I say, do you believe what God said? God said not to be unequally yoked. I didn't say it. Not my book. Why is he telling you that? Because he knows what happens. If God is the love of your life, very difficult to enter a relationship with somebody else that's supposed to be the love of your life when you cannot share with them the main love of your life. And God says, this is going to be really tough on you, so don't do that. Whenever a young person says, yeah, but I know, right there, I walk away saying their faith isn't where it needs to be, because if they really believe God said that and they really believe God has, do you believe that God has your best interest in mind? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God in heaven has your best interest in mind? And when he says something in the Bible, he says it because he cares about you. If you believe it, then let's not question it. If that's what he said, that I shouldn't date an unbeliever, then by faith, I just got to trust him. But I really like him. But God's right. And you just got to trust him. I know it may not make sense, but that's where faith comes in. Just got to trust him that that's what he said, because he knows what's best for me, and I just got to trust that. You know, we can't please God unless we're willing to do what he says, because if you believe that it's from him, then of course you would want to do what he says. Okay, all right. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now look at this. and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What's the opposite of a reward? Punishment. Okay? So, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and if we don't... So, here's a question that I always got asked by guys your age when I was pastoring. They come and say, Pastor, is it really true that in heaven, God's going to take all of our bad things and show everybody? And they're really worried about it. And you know what? I don't really have the answer for that. I can tell you this. It says that we're going to give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether good or bad. And they got this concerned look on their face. Yes, your parents are going to find out. You know? And I look at them and I said, look, if you're concerned about it, you can't change yesterday. But if you're concerned about it, don't add any more to the list. That's simple. If you're concerned about everybody knowing about your whole entire life, well, I can't do anything about tomorrow. But if I honestly believed in my mind that I am going to have to stand in front of God and give an account of every thought, and I believe that, it's going to force me to change from this day forward. Or you're just a glutton for punishment. Right? Okay, if you honestly believe that you're going to stand in front of God and he's going to just put the whole thing out there, why would you add any more to the list? That would be silly, right? See, if you believe that you're going to give an account of the deeds done in your body, whether good or bad, and you believe that, it will force a change in you as you walk out those doors today. Or you like making your life difficult. I can't change yesterday, but if I really believe that, you can look at my life and see a downward graph and then an upward graph, and you're going to say, what happened? I thought about it. I better start practicing this. Do you understand? See, faith, it's a lot more than just believing God's going to take care of you. I want you to turn here really quick. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This brother that lives in Pennsylvania that paints cars, when you find that, can you read that really loud for me? 13. All right, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Amen. Okay, how many of you can say that you did not sin last week? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody that would say, I did not sin last week? There's not one thing in my life that I had to ask God forgiveness for last week. Anybody? Well, then by our own admission, we don't really believe that verse. Because what does it say? It says there's no temptation. It's common to man, okay? We all face it. But what did he say? With the temptation, he would what? Make a way to escape. So, brother, in the middle of temptation, and I've got to make the decision between right and wrong, he's telling me that every time that goes on, there's always a choice. So, ever seen an old movie and there's somebody running down an alleyway and it's dark and there's doors everywhere and somebody's chasing them and they're trying to get away and they go for this door and that door and they're all locked and all of a sudden you grab one door and it opens up and there's a little old lady there and they go shh and they jump in the door and they close it and the enemy runs by. May I say something to you? That's what God's saying. Saying, Dave, every time the devil's after you, and every time you're being tempted, there's a way that you can escape it. There's a door that you can duck in. Do you know why we don't use that door? Because we can't see it. Do you know what would put a doorknob on that door for you to grab? Is faith. So tomorrow, when you're on this journey of being filled with the Spirit, that's only going to happen as you make choices throughout the day. And when you're confronted with right or wrong, good attitude, bad attitude, whatever, Ask God to help you see that door. Ask God to help that door become real so that you can put that handle in your palm of your hand and you can turn it and you can duck inside of it. Because every time that I've ever done wrong, Jesus, Pastor, standing over there with the door open, going, Dave, why didn't you jump in here, buddy? Either that or that lied. What's it say? That every time we're tempted, he would make a way to escape. Think about how many tears that you've shed over sin. Every tear that's ever fell down your cheek, I want you to understand that in the presence of that sin, there was an open door that we could have ducked in. And faith is what makes that door real. And man, that's a game changer. How many of you believe that when you get saved, the Spirit of the God moves inside of you? Okay? He lives inside of you, right? Okay? So if I traveled everywhere with a pastor, I'd be on my best behavior. Right? I mean, if pastor came home with me and my wife said, hey, I overdrew the account in the bank, I'd say, no problem, honey. Praise the Lord. Now, if he wasn't there, I'd be like, you got to be kidding me. You think money grows on trees? I work hard. What's the game changer? Well, pastor's there, right? All right, so pastor's there. Things are going to be different because I'm caring about what he thinks of me and he's watching me. But Jesus Christ is going to follow you home tonight. So that means everybody in this room, if you believe that, you're going to have a great night. There's not going to be an argument. There's not going to be any selfishness. There's not going to be any pride. Because you dare wouldn't do that in front of Jesus. Well, guys, he's always been there. The problem is I can't see him, brother. Because I lost sight of my faith. You walk out that door tonight, and I want you to just concentrate on one thing. I am not alone. I am never alone. And he sees everything. And if I believe that he's right there, that has to change the outcome. Or I just like punishment. That has to change that. You can't keep doing that. All right, I got to hurry because the clock's moving. Let's go drop down from there. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. So God warned him, and he's telling you, Noah did not understand, nor had he ever seen anything God told him. When God said, I'm going to flood the world with rain, he couldn't grasp what rain was. Okay? So, but it says this, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What's the next part say? He moved with fear. He was actually afraid. When God said, I'm going to destroy the whole world, everybody's perishing except those that get in the ark, Noah left that conversation, and the Bible says he moved with fear because he actually believed it's going to happen. How many of you believe Jesus is coming back again? Give me an amen.
Amen.
How many of you believe that people that are not Christians, have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, it doesn't matter who, that if they do not trust Jesus Christ, they are going to hell forever. Do you believe that?
Yes.
All right, let me ask you this question. Where's your ark? See, because you could go to Noah and say, Noah, you really believe that stuff? Do you really believe God's going to flood the world? You know what he'd say? Come here. Where are we going, Noah? Just follow me. We're going to go back to the back part of my property. You're going to walk past the trees and this giant clearing. All of a sudden, you're going to stop. And there's going to be this massive ark. Noah, you believe? You really believe that he's going to do that? Yep. See? That's why I built that. So do you really believe that the people you love, if they don't trust Christ as their Savior, they're going to die and go to hell? Where's our ark? You really believe that Jesus is going to come back and you don't know the day? That's a game changer. I mean, you really believe that? It was a game changer. He really believed that. You know, he's the only one that built the ark? Because he's the only one that believed that. I wonder what would happen if 5 or 6 of them believed that. You'd have a navy, you know. But he built the ark because he believed it. I mean, he picked up those logs as though that very action itself was going to help get his family to safety. Because he believed it. Do you know why we come to this ark? Because we believe it's good for our family. You understand? Faith is a lot more than what we started off with. He did that. He did it to the saving of his family because he actually believed God when he said, Noah, I'm wiping it all out, buddy. And he left there with a heavy heart and he got busy because he believed God. Well, we should have a heavy heart and we ought to get busy because I really believe, God, that this world is going to be dissolved and burnt to ashes. Now, I don't think you ought to be environmentally crazy. But there's probably bigger fish to fry because it's all going down, man. You know what's important? People. That's what's important. I don't think you should on purpose dump oil in a river. But I'm not going to live for that. People, my family, that's another story. So, when Jesus was on the cross, he was in the middle. There was a thief over here and a thief here. And guys, Jesus is just trying to breathe. Like I said today, he's a mess. Mouth swollen, eyes swollen, could hardly talk. Can you imagine what he'd been through that whole day? This thief over here, if you're the Son of God and come off that cross, save yourself, save me. Whew. I mean, can you imagine having to listen to that? When you're God and you can come down, you could literally do what he just said. Isn't that funny? How did he know to say that? Because Jesus could have come down off that cross and saved himself. No problem. Because he's God. He's not limited to that. That was voluntary. This thief over here says, hey, leave him alone. He's innocent. Then that thief said this, we're guilty. And he's on his way to heaven, brother. I mean, awful close. Then that thief did something that has changed the way I think about faith. I want you to notice what he's looking at. You couldn't tell who Christ was. He's nailed to the cross. He can't move. He's bleeding to death. His back is a mess. His face is a mess. Way worse condition than this thief. And this thief looks at Jesus and says, today, when you enter your kingdom. So that thief looked past all the blood, looked past the nails, looked past his face, and he saw a king and said, help me. So, pastor's been in an accident. He's got two broken legs, two broken arms, big gash on his head, and I have a broken hand. Same car accident. And I go over to pastor, and I say, pastor, my hand's broke. Can you help me? You would look at me and say, why are you asking him to help you? He's got two broken legs and two broken arms, and he's bleeding to death, and you got a broken wrist. Do you understand that that thief asked Jesus to help him? Do you remember what he's looking at? Jesus is nailed to the cross. That thief said this, I believe that under all of that, there's a king. And that king is going to his kingdom. And would you remember me? Whew, that's faith. What if the day that you got saved, instead of taking you to the Jesus we all know, cleaned up, resurrected, sitting on the right hand of the Father in his glory. What if I brought you to a bloody mess on the cross and said, that man can help you? Would you still believe? See, faith wiped all the blood away that day. Faith took the crown of thorns and put a king's crown on his head. And that man said, when you enter your kingdom, he believed that Jesus wasn't going to stay on that cross. He believed that Jesus was going someplace. And he said, when you enter your kingdom, would you remember me? And Jesus said, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. You know, I don't believe that the Bible teases us. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that if you have the faith of a grain of mustard, you could say to that mountain, be cast into the sea. And it would do that. Now, is God just saying something that's not really a reality? No, because that means he's playing games with us. But the reason why we can't ever grasp anything like that is we haven't found the door yet. I really do believe that the power of God is unlimited. But we haven't even begun to truly exercise faith. Because if we did, it would be so powerful in our own family. We wouldn't need to move a mountain. That would change people. If everybody in this room would just go out there and live what you believe, that would be powerful. I was in Bible college. I don't remember him. Can't remember the guy, Daryl Chaplin. He was a missionary. I heard him in Bible college. He told a story about being in the jungle. I got 5 minutes. Being in the jungle and in Suriname, and he was in this canoe, and then he finally got permission to go on land, and he's preaching, and a couple people got saved, and then the witch doctor got mad and came to the village, and they had a fire walking ceremony. He heard him preach this message. And this, the witch doctor gets some broken glass together in a fire, and he gets in this trance, and the people say, the demon's on the witch doctor, and the witch doctor goes over there and jumps on the glass, and it didn't cut his feet, and then he goes over there and jumps on the fire, and it didn't burn him. He's telling this to us in mission class. Then he said, I was standing there, and God said, he told God, he said, I'm afraid for the new believers that they might fall tonight, because the witch doctor told him, hey, I can help you get this power. And he was afraid that he would lose a new believer. And he felt God saying, well, do you believe me? He said, I want you to do something. He took off his shoes and went over and jumped on that glass. And I'm in that class going, yeah, right. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm a pastor, and there's an art to a fish being this big and you make it this big. You know, you can actually get a degree in that. You know, and I'm thinking, yeah, right. And he said, I went over there and jumped on that glass and it didn't cut me. And I'm going, you know. Then he said, I went over there and I jumped on the fire. And he said, the people said, the demon's on the missionary. He said, he jumped on that fire until he put it out. And he's standing there and he can see the little coals between his toes. And he told him, God's not in the business of fire walking. He could have let you die and go to hell. He's in the business of helping you get to heaven and forgiving you of your sins. And he'll do that for you if you let him. And the witch doctor and the whole village wanted to stone him. His people got him away from there, and he went back to the village at night, and he said he sat on his bed. And he prayed, God, if my feet are burned in the morning, then these people aren't going to believe. He went to bed, and the next morning, you know, in Africa, you know, we don't want to go visit somebody, at least where I'm at. You don't knock, you say, odie, 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 odie. You know, and then what do they say? Caribou or something like that? Just because sometimes there's not even a door. Well, they did the same thing in the bush. You know, like, odie, 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 odie. And the missionary got up. And as soon as he got out of bed, he said his feet hit the ground. And they were perfect. And I'm sitting in that class thinking, yeah, right. Fire walking. Try that at home. You know, and then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just climbed all over me and said this. Dave, who are you to say what I can and cannot do? I don't know if that world will ever see in our time the kind of faith that can remove a mountain and cast it into the sea. I just wonder what would happen if we walked out of here and actually lived what we believe. You know why? Because they need to see that. They need to see that inside of us. That will do more than you can imagine. It's the evidence of things not seen. We're losing that because we're not a people of faith. Our children aren't growing up like that, and we're losing them. But what would happen if each family out here just simply said this? Okay, God, he's right. If I really believe that's from you, then there's some things that got to change. If I really believe that every time I sin, that there's a door that's open to me, that I can escape it, whew, that means tomorrow's going to be a good day, preacher. I'm going to be okay. Because no matter how hard he chases me, there's always going to be a door. Whew. Now, let me ask you this question. Here was your faith when we started, now we're at the end. Is there room for it to grow? If that's the case, listen, you ever think about why invitations, you know, during an invitation is given, you go up and pray, one song, you're done, you go back. Well, that's because we're conditioned by what we're used to as culture. If God is speaking to your heart, who cares who sees you or how long that takes? And who says that it has to be done with the first two stanzas of an invitation? You know, if you really honestly want God to do something in your heart, you'll forget about all that stuff. And just say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Help me to go out here and live my faith. Stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. And I'm just going to do this, and the pastor can turn over. I'm going to pray. And then as soon as I'm done praying, if God's challenged your heart about your faith, whether you do it in a pew or you find a place at this old-fashioned altar, maybe we just need to take a moment and ask God to help increase our faith. And let it really challenge you as you think about it, or whether or not you really believe this stuff. Because if you do, you cannot walk out those doors the same. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for helping us understand what faith is. Thank you, Father, for the challenge. And if I actually believe what I just told these people, then that's a game changer. By that own, its own admission, we cannot walk out of this room the same and say we believe what we heard tonight. There has to be a change.